The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We've now seen too many times the deadly and destructive violence this ideology unleashes. We heard the chants, you will not replace us, in Charlottesville, Virginia. I wasn't going to run, as the senator knows, again for president. But when I saw those people coming out of the woods of the fields in Virginia, in Charlottesville, carrying torches, shouting, you will not replace us, accompanied by white supremacists and carrying Nazi banners. That's when I said, no, no. And I, honest to God, those who know me, Chuck, you know, I wasn't going to run for certain. But I was going to be darned if I was going to let anyway. White supremacy is a poison. It's a poison running through it. It really is. Running through our body politic. And it's been allowed to fester and grow right in front of our eyes.
There he is. Yesterday in Buffalo, he came in, 16 months ago? Illegitimately, of course. But he came in promising to unify, to bring both parties together. But it didn't take him long. Quite unlike Waukesha, he couldn't be bothered. He didn't have the time or the resources to visit the scene of that tragedy back in November. But in Buffalo, I mean, this fits perfectly within the narrative. And so there he is, denouncing white supremacy, the greatest threat facing the United States. That's what they've been saying nonstop these past 16 months. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show on CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on their platform. On our platform, that's thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and that takes you to the live video stream of this show. So much to get to on today's program. As you've been hearing the last couple of days, it's been a busy, busy time here on the campus, the Herbert W. Armstrong campus. Last night, we had the beautiful Imperial Academy graduation. Always love it. The section of that ceremony where you have the pictures of all these graduates going from their infancy up through to 18 years of age. You see just how fast they grow. And of course, these high school graduates are now off and running. Many of them are coming to Armstrong College this fall. So that's very exciting indeed. And speaking of the college, the seniors that just graduated college are off on their senior trip. My wife and I are going to be joining them later today in Arizona. So some exciting events going on for quite a few people here around headquarters. And coming up on today's show, by the way, I'm going to try to get into some of those clips from Herbert Armstrong's final Pentecost sermon. We've got Pentecost coming up here in just a few weeks, so I think it'll be great preparation or prepare our minds well for what's coming up. And also, just to flip back to the trip to Arizona, we're hoping to do a couple of programs via Zoom on the trip. So we'll see how all of this goes. We're trying out some new technology. We've got Celtic Throne coming up here in a few weeks as well. So if our crew is on the road, we're looking for ways to be efficient and productive and to keep these programs going as much as is possible, even when we're traveling. We'll have a couple of subs hop in here in the next few days as well. But if all goes well, you'll be hearing from me from Arizona via the computer, via a Zoom hookup. So Senator Ron Johnson, he's from Wisconsin. He sent out a statement yesterday saying, last year when Daryl Brooks murdered six innocent people including, I think it was an 8-year-old boy, mowed down by this terrorist, this deranged lunatic, this racist. He wanted to kill some white people. That was just last November. Johnson says here, murdered 6 innocent people and injured over 60 during the Waukesha Christmas parade. The White House claimed President Biden couldn't go to Waukesha because it would require too many assets and resources. They just said this a few months ago. Can't go. Too many assets, too many resources. We got to stay back. And with Buffalo, it took 2 days. 2 days, and he's there. He's there speaking. He's there dividing the United States of America. Anything and everything possible to divide the country. It says here, but within hours of the most recent senseless tragedy, the White House apparently found the resources to plan a presidential trip to Buffalo. Johnson says these horrors deserve equal attention from the president of the United States, and the media should be pointing out the disparity in his response. Well, the media, for their part, if you remember back in November, they couldn't get to the Thanksgiving holiday fast enough. There was a token reference to Waukesha. It happened on a Sunday night, remember? Then Monday, a little bit. I went through the clips with you. I told you about Morning Joe. No long speeches about racism or black nationalism, nothing like that, on Morning Joe back in November. They covered it up. The president, the fake president, he acted as if it didn't happen. But there he is yesterday. There he is, dividing the nation along lines of race. He's denouncing white supremacy. You know, by the way, just to build on the point we touched on yesterday, the YouTube channel for the White House that was broadcasting this speech live, 821 people were watching the live. I checked the numbers just earlier this morning. It's around 9,000 views. For this is supposed to be the president of the United States who got 81 million votes, and 821 people watched this big speech on race and white supremacy. I mean, they were advertising. They had Senator Gillibrand, Schumer, Governor Hochul, Dr. Jill was there, and Joe Biden, the fake president. All of them there. And 821 people watched the live stream. The White House live stream presentation. That's supposed to be the most popular man in the history of U.S. politics. People know it's a big hoax. And as I said yesterday, they don't care so much about the cry of racism when gasoline is costs as much as it does, or you've got this never-ending stream of drugs and everything else pouring into the country across a wide open border. Twitter, it announced, I forget what group was analyzing this data, but half of Joe Biden's Twitter followers are fake. Isn't that perfect? A fake president with a fake following. And I'm not saying he doesn't have power. He does. I brought this out yesterday. They're in control of everything. The deep state is deep. It controls, the radical left controls the DOJ and the FBI. You can see why there was such a hysterical reaction to what the Supreme Court, that leak coming out from the Supreme Court, because that's the one government agency, it's not an agency, but I mean, it's the one thing they can't control, the Supreme Court. They've got control of just about everything else. Half of Joe Biden's followers on Twitter are fake. I mean, this is one reason that Elon Musk evidently is backing away from this deal. He wants to know a little bit more about how many of these accounts that you have, how many of them are bots, how many of them are fake. Elon Musk, by the way, we played a clip from that discussion he was involved in yesterday on the show. He said in that same discussion that he's never voted for a Republican. and yet he's going to be this time around. These infiltrators, these communists, they have lost the country. They have control. They still control. They still have a lot of power, but they have lost the country. They have lost Elon Musk. He is not a conservative. Not at all. But he sees what's happening. A lot of people do. So what do you do when you've lost the country? What do? Well, you act in desperation. And that's what they've been doing in recent weeks. We've noted this time and again on the program. Listen to this from MSNBC just yesterday, clip 16.
Do we start calling people out? You do call out Tucker Carlson. It's a gift to the Democrats. He is heinous. He is vulgar. Make him the face of the Republican Party. The same way I said, make replacement theory the brand image, the raison d'etre, the model of the party. Yes, he has 3 million viewers, but to the mainstream Republicans, to the independents, he's vulgar. He's atrocious. Use him. Give him more of a platform. Say it is the party of Tucker Carlson. It is not the party of Pat Toomey. Okay. It is not the party of Mitch McConnell. It is the party of Tucker Carlson. That's who you are voting for. Use Marjorie Taylor Greene. Use Cawthorn. You, these people, you have a nugget of MAGA maniacs, not MAGA ultra. Ultra is a good word. MAGA maniacs, and they're racists and they're evil.
And he goes on and on and on, as do many of the others. He's vicious. It's wishful thinking. Tucker Carlson is the most popular host on cable news in the country. And there's someone who nobody listens to going on and on about how vicious he is, how hateful he is. Well, that man's president yesterday. The much hyped speech in Buffalo, 821 live viewers. I mean, when you can compare the president of the United States giving a speech in Buffalo, a much hyped speech with all of these prominent politicians there, when you can compare the audience size for that to this program, something doesn't add up. 81 million people voted for him and no one's listening. He gets up and he attacks white supremacy and nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention. Listen again to, this is another commentator on MSNBC, clip 17.
My guidance is that we have to treat it as a terrorist threat that it is. You know, we rallied on 9/11. There was no question about what the country was going to do. We are facing the same threat. And we need to go one step further. Mr. Deutsch is on point. We should label them the domestic terrorist party.
Right. So the whole Republican Party now, the 70-some million that voted for Donald Trump, you've got the 81 million. Millions and millions of them are fake. Half the Twitter followers are fake. Nobody's listening to the YouTube live stream. And then you've got the actual followers, the ordinary Americans, that these people want to label as terrorists. As I said yesterday, it's not enough to say they're racist. They're mass murderers, all of them. Tucker Carlson, he's responsible. That's what Dick Durbin said on the floor of the Senate earlier this week. Listen to this one, again, from MSNBC, clip 15.
It really is kind of horrible to think that journalists with national and international capacity are putting together this type of nonsense. We got to watch out because the Republicans have become the purveyors of misinformation. And when our two-party system is broken like that, democracy is seriously in trouble. The president acknowledged that. It's time to actually start doing things and maybe taking some names and putting people in jail.
Yeah, round them up. Put them in jail, these conservative commentators. It's the terrorist party, after all. You've got to put him in jail. I mean, that's someone that used to be at Fox News, but he had to get out because it was horrible over there. He was like Chris Wallace. I got to go to CNN Plus. And then that didn't work out so well. Nobody watches. 821 people. Seriously? And yet there he is saying all of the Trump supporters, Tucker Carlson, conservative commentators, put him in jail. Yeah, Donald Trump, was he the one that divided the country? It's these people. America's under attack. As we've said over and again, the communists are in control. and they are acting in desperation. Listen to the fake president again from yesterday. This is clip 14.
I call on all Americans to reject the lie, and I condemn those who spread the lie for power, political gain, and for profit.
Which is all that they do. Spread lies for power, political gain, and profit. Look at how much this crime family benefited from his time as vice president under Barack Obama. Look at the Clinton Foundation. Look at Hunter Biden. Spreading lies for power, political gain, and profit. I mentioned Black Lives Matter yesterday. I mean, they're in some pretty hot water right now because their finances are coming under scrutiny. This is from the New York Post. It says, it is important to note that, they recently hired Minion Moore and Mark Elias, or added them to their board in the hope that they could, you know, get their taxes and their financial statements in order. But it says here, it's important to note that Elias Law Group is the firm with a laser focus on electing Democrats and pushing the progressive agenda. Tom Anderson, director of the Government Integrity Project, a watchdog group, told The Examiner. This makes their disappearance from the latest BLM Global Network Foundation filings a pivotal moment, probably foreshadowing the total collapse of what is left of the organization. Mark Elias, in other words, got out. He's like, I don't want any part of this BLM organization because they're all crooks. They're thieves. They're thieves. They've stolen money and spread it out to their cronies. This is the way they work. BLM, Clinton Foundation, the Biden Foundation, Hunter gathering in all that money from Ukraine, from Russia, from China. BLM has invested $32 million in stocks, some of these financial filings have revealed. Damon Turner, he's the father of Patrice Culler's child. And the organization, BLM, gave him $970,000 to set up a live stream event. $1 million to set up. If only we got paid this to get the Zoom hookup from Arizona. $1 million? To hook up live stream events? That's right. Paul Cullors, that's Patrice's brother. Patrice is one of the co-founders of BLM. He received $840,000 for providing security services for BLM. So he headed up security, and he gets $1 million. He's the brother of the founder. They're just lining their pockets. And all of these woke businesses from all over the world just pouring in millions and millions to this organization. And you know about all the mansions that they've built or purchased? Black Lives Matter, BLM, buy large mansions, as Sam often says. That's really what it should stand for. So going back to what Joe Biden said yesterday, who really is out there just looking to grab hold of power or to spread lies for political gain and profit? This movement responsible for burning down American cities. Just 2 years ago, not even. Just 2 years ago. And there's your fake president in Buffalo yesterday, going on and on about the threat of white supremacy. Grabian had this montage circulating earlier today about, what was it, the replacement theory, something you never heard of until this past weekend. And now that's apparently what Tucker Carlson is a big proponent of. He's denouncing, we're being replaced, we're being replaced. And the montage that Grabian put together, they're all these radical leftist Democrats who are basically out there saying, yeah, the whites are being replaced. This is good. They're going to be a minority. In just a few short years, they're going to be, they're the ones out there that are going on and on and on about replacement theory. And they love it. That's why the border is wide open. I mentioned yesterday that tweet from Bill Malugin, 234,000 illegal immigrants encountered in the month of April. That's the highest ever in American history. 234,000. And did you know that over 108,000 of those encounters were with people that were not from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, or Mexico, the so-called Northern Triangle? In other words, they're coming from all over the world. The border is wide open to everyone in the world. They're not even just coming. That's about half. Half coming from the numbers, by the way, from the Northern Triangle, those are in decline. I mean, how much more can you take, right? But the world is watching. The world knows they can get right in and get their free smartphones and their free bank cards and food and hotel and a flight even across the country as they spread them out over the nation. America is under attack. And again, when you look at all of these curses, we're just being besieged by them. So much of it brought on by this fake, illegitimate administration that stole the election on November 3rd, 2020. And that's why you have to keep going back to the steal. Dinesh D'Souza, by the way, announced this week that his movie is going to have a limited release in theaters across the country. I think 400 theaters. You remember with the premiere, he actually reserved those theaters and then you bought the tickets through his organization and you had that private screening. Well, now there's theaters that have contacted him, according to what he said in his podcast yesterday, that have said, hey, you know, the interest for this movie is strong. What if we just play it like we would any other movie and charge the $7, $8 for the film? 400 theaters. I mean, the message is getting out. They tried to blot it out with the Roe v. Wade leak. And now they're going to be on white supremacy for the next few weeks, probably. They're going to milk the Buffalo massacre for everything that they can. You see, with this massacre, it fits the narrative. The other ones, not so much. So just ignore those. You know, some manifestos, some mass shooters, we can just completely ignore. Certainly crime across the board, we can ignore that. We can pretend that crime isn't skyrocketing in San Francisco and in Chicago and in Baltimore. But this, what did he say yesterday? For profit, spreading lies for power, political gain, and profit, which is exactly what they do. When we come back, we'll finish today's show with that study taking us back to Herbert Armstrong's final Pentecost message and also taking us forward to the Feast of Pentecost, which is just a few weeks away. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law, and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
There is a reason why we're the first fruits. And I wish I could drive that home. But I fear that most of you just don't get it. You don't understand it at all. Why? Why are we the first fruits? I'm going to try to make it plain this afternoon, and still I think you won't get it. So much Protestantism has rubbed off on us, we can't get it out of our heads. They think God's trying to save the whole world, and then we think, well, he's just saving us first. And that is not the answer at all.
That's Herbert Armstrong, of course, from his Pentecost address back in May of 1985. There he is talking to God's church and saying, you just don't get this message. You don't understand what I've been trying to teach you for so many years. And of course, knowing what happened after he died just 6-7 months after that particular sermon. How could he know? Here's Mr. Armstrong. He's 93 years of age. He's for all intents and purposes, he's blind. He's obviously, at that age, he's not able to go to services beforehand and stay 2 hours after to talk to as many of the brethren as possible. They would just drive him in. He'd come in right before the service. He'd speak, and then he would leave. How did he know? God was moving that man. He knew, he had, I'm sure, some conversations with those ministers that were close to him and those that were in and around his area there on the Pasadena campus. But besides that, I mean, God was impressing upon his mind the fact that the church, the entire church, was drifting away from God. Why the first fruits? Why are we here in the church? Why did God bring us out ahead of the rest? What's the purpose? Well, that's discussed in this book, also coming out in 1985. What you heard there was Herbert Armstrong's final Pentecost message. This was his final work, his final book, Mystery of the Ages. If you don't have a copy of this book, call our operators. They're standing by. The number's toll-free, by the way. There's no cost or obligation for the literature. We'll pay for the phone call as well if you live in the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean. The number's 1-866-930-3024. Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages, he said, "The real truth about the church, the reason for its origin and its purpose, has remained hidden from even the professing Christian world." See, Mr. Armstrong said so much Protestantism has rubbed off on the church. The thinking that, well, we're just all trying to get everyone saved now before it's too late. This is the popular belief or assumption in traditional Christianity. We've got to try to save people before it's too late. Mr. Armstrong said that's not God's purpose at all. God brings you into the church for a purpose, for a reason, an important reason at that. To prepare us to marry Jesus Christ and to teach the world as the bride of Jesus Christ, as kings and priests, like it says in Revelation 5 and verse 10. Notice Matthew 16. This is a great mystery in the world, the mystery of the church. And of course, when you understand why the church, you can see why back in 1997 on through to 2003, 6 years. For 6 years, we fought in court so that we could get this book. The Tkach people, they wanted to destroy this book. Joe Tkach Jr. said he had a Christian duty to keep this out of print. Can you believe that? It's the same spirit that we're seeing now in the nation. that we're seeing now with these corrupt leaders that want to destroy the nation. They want to destroy the foundation on which it was built. That same spirit, it was alive and well in God's church back in 1986, 87, 88, following the death of Herbert Armstrong. I mean, when he was alive, he was a restrainer. He kept it back, that evil movement, that spirit of Antiochus. He kept it back. He pushed it back. But God, like 2 Thessalonians 2 says, God took him out of the way. And then look at what was revealed. And look at the stand that some of us had to make to just fight for the truth, to remain faithful to God. Most people just fell away. This is Matthew 16 and verse 13. And it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. God the Father revealed this truth to Peter. Now continue on in verse 18, it says, and I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church is built on the rock that is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. You can read more about the foundation of the church in Ephesians 2, verse 20 and verse 21. But here you see reference to church. And of course, if you look at the Greek word for church, it's ekklesia or ecclesia, however you want to pronounce it. But it means called out ones. They've been called out of the world. Why, though? For what reason are we called out? The church, obviously, if you look at the Greek language, it's not talking about a building or a structure, unless you're talking about it in a spiritual sense. There is a foundation. There is a building, spiritually speaking. But most people, when they think of a church, they just think of some building that's on a street corner somewhere. The church or the ecclesia means the called out ones. Why? Why have they been called out? We'll look at John 6 and verse 44 later if we have time. But first, listen again to Mr. Armstrong from that 1985 message. This is clip 3.
Jesus came to start a school, and he taught them the way of God, the way of God's character, so they could be born of God. Then he told them to go out and become teachers themselves, like he had been a teacher to them, and teach others. And the others that they were to teach were also to be taught to learn so that they could become teachers. And the whole purpose of the first fruits was to call some people out to become teachers, so that when Christ comes to save the world, they can be kings and priests under Christ.
Called to be teachers. Who understands this today? Even the word disciple, that means student. Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he talked about people referring to him as a master or an instructor, a teacher, as well they should. That's what Jesus Christ was. That's who he is. He teaches. He prayed earnestly to God. He fasted and got God's guidance and direction to select those disciples. And then he spent 3.5 years teaching them. Teaching them. He did address masses of people who were attracted to him because of the miracles. But for the most part, he'd speak in parables, not so that the masses could understand. Just the opposite. You can read about it in Matthew 13, I think it is. It concealed the meaning, the fact that he spoke in parables. Then he would go off with the students, the 12 disciples, and he would explain the meaning behind those parables. He would teach them. Why? Why would he exclude so many other people? Well, because he was intent on preparing a few teachers who would then go out and teach others. As God's plan and purpose expanded and grew, listen again to Mr. Armstrong, clip 4.
In other words, Jesus came to qualify to rule in the place of Satan. He came to call first fruits out to become teachers and to become rulers and governors like he is with him when he sits on the throne and rule the others and teach the others when God starts to save the world. He didn't come to teach us just to be saved. He came to teach us to become teachers.
This is how God is saving the world. This is how everyone who's ever lived will have an opportunity for salvation, an opportunity to live God's way of life. They're going to be taught. I don't have time to get into so many of the other scriptures that speak about the wonderful world tomorrow and well, the first fruits resurrection to spirit at the return of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4. But Revelation chapter 20 talks about the great white throne judgment period. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, speaks to this. Ezekiel 37, 38. Everyone who's ever lived is going to have an opportunity to be taught God's way of life. Somebody's going to teach them. That's why the first fruits, as Mr. Armstrong explained in that final Pentecost message, why the church, here he is again from 1985, clip 1.
But why? Why the Feast of First Fruits? Why is this church the first fruits of God's harvest for his kingdom? Is God unfair? Is he discriminating against others to choose us first and they have to wait and come later? Brethren, I want to say to you, I think that most of you don't understand that at all. I think that most of you think that it merely means that God chose us to get into the kingdom first and then they'll come in later. That is not the answer at all. And I perceive that even our ministers, when they preach, take it for granted that we're just, the whole goal is to get us into the kingdom of God, and that's all we're called for now, and for no other purpose, but we'll get in ahead of the others. Then God is discriminating against the others.
That's what an honest Christian in the traditional Christian world would have to admit. If God's plan of salvation was to get as many people saved as possible before it's too late, well, then that just shuts out hundreds of millions. It shuts out billions of people who've lived and died, have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And they've never been exposed to God's truth. This world is cut off from God. The world of traditional Christianity doesn't understand this. They don't understand that even the world of religion, even the world of Christianity is in fact cut off from God. That's why there's so many beliefs based on traditions of men, not certainly grounded in the scriptures. Jesus Christ is the foundation. If Jesus taught it, if Jesus believed it and taught it, then that should form the foundation of your religion, if you're a Christian. It certainly does for this church, God's church. We get all of our beliefs from the Bible. But there he was saying, I think most of you brethren have forgotten this, or you've never really gotten it, and I perceive even ministers, even the teachers in the church took this for granted. Well, look at the history. Look at the history. I mentioned Mystery of the Ages. Raising the Ruins would be another one that would bring you right up to date with all that happened following the death of Herbert Armstrong. And it's not like we should be shocked by that history. Look at what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy. There in the first chapter, he talked about how that everyone in Asia had fallen away from the truth. I mean, Paul was alone, and he told Timothy, read it in 2 Timothy 2. He told Timothy, now make sure that you go out and you train others, that you teach others. The church had been scattered. The church, you can see this in the history covered in the book of Acts. The church coming under persecution, scattered over the known world at that time. That's the way that it's been. Now, Jesus, as I read to you, he said the gates of the grave would not prevail against it, so it would survive. There were seven church eras, even following the death of Herbert Armstrong, when there was a great falling away from the truth. You did have faithful Philadelphians standing up for the truth, fighting for Mystery of the Ages. A chapter in here on why the church, what is the purpose of the church? And it's answered. It's answered. Call our operators, as I say. Make sure that you request Mystery of the Ages. This is from the book of Acts. Picking it up in the middle of a thought here, Acts 20 and verse 20. Paul says to these, he's at a ministerial conference, basically, just outside of Ephesus. He's assembling all of these ministers together. He's telling them, look, this is probably my last time to see you, so I want to leave you with an important message. Verse 20 says, and how that I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I mean, Paul really set a wonderful example for these ministers. He worked. He worked to teach the brethren of God. To teach these ministers, he went from house to house. Verse 22 says, and now, this is in the Revised Standard, and now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, bound in the Spirit, not knowing what shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. Imprisonment and afflictions? I mean, this is getting near to the end of his ministry. This is decades after the ministry of Jesus Christ. Why would, he's just trying to spread Christianity. Why would he meet so much resistance? Why would he be met with imprisonment and afflictions? Because the devil hates God's church. The devil hates the truth of God. He wants to blot it out. That's been the history. And it was true in the first century. And it certainly is true in our century as well. So many people falling away from the truth of God. And Mr. Armstrong perceiving it back in 1985. I don't think you've ever really understood this. Why the church? Verse 24, notice this. It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the eternal Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It says, and now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So Paul, as I say, he was telling these ministers that, look, you're probably not going to see me again. So what message do you need? Given that I'm making my final pass through, it says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. It says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all that is of God. He goes on basically in verses 28, 29, and 30. He talks about taking heed. You better listen to this warning. There's going to be wolves rising from among you men, you ministers. Some of you ministers are going to turn bad. You're gonna drift away from the truth. Worse than that, you're gonna try to steal away the sheep for your own flock, for your own purposes, to get your own following. And Paul said, look, you better beware. Verse 30, it says, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. It says, therefore watch and remember, verse 31, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You better be careful. You better watch. Grievous wolves are going to rise from among you. This is Mr. Armstrong. Again, this is very similar to what Mr. Armstrong encountered in the mid-1980s when he was speaking, as you heard in that sermon from 1985, saying that even our ministers don't really understand this. They take it for granted. This is what he wrote in June of 1985. He says, a final word, this is Herbert Armstrong, a final personal word. In a few days, I will be 93 years of age. For some years now, there have been some like vultures waiting for me to die. So he knew that even some in the ministry, even some of the leaders of the church, he talked in that specific quote about people coming from outside back into the church. It was always coming under attack. As I say, whether you look at the first century history or what happened in these last days, switching back to Acts 20, notice verse 34, it says, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. He worked hard, Paul did, to even provide for himself. He worked two jobs, you could say. His heart was in God's work. And he's telling these ministers, look, make sacrifices for the family of God. Serve God's people. Serve in the work. Don't serve yourself. Verse 35, it says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's from the New King James Version. Paul had preached night and day over the course of these years that he was helping the brethren around Ephesus. He spent so much time with them. He had shown them by his own labor, by his own example. He was a living example of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a follower of Christ. Notice verse 36. It says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Verse 37 says, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing. Notice this, verse 38, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke. Which words? That they should see his face no more. They were most sorrowful over the fact that they wouldn't get to see Paul again. And yet Paul just gave them this blistering warning, saying there's going to be grievous wolves that arise from among you. And evidently that didn't really shake them as much as the statement about him not passing through again. Listen to what Mr. Armstrong said back in 1985. This is clip 5.
We are not called just for salvation. And if it was for salvation, we wouldn't have been called at all. You wouldn't have been called at all just to get you into the kingdom. That's not why you were called. You were called to become a student. You were called to learn how to save others. When God's kingdom comes, when Jesus is sitting on the throne on this earth. Brethren, you don't get it. I've heard ministers speaking as if they never heard of that. I've said to some of them, I don't think our people understand that. And they say, oh, yes, they do, Mr. Armstrong. Oh, no, you don't. Brethren, you just don't understand that. We're not called to just be the first ones to get into the kingdom of God. We're called for a special mission to become teachers.
That's the statement in particular that I drew attention to a few weeks ago on this program. I didn't play the clip for you, but there it is. And what struck me in hearing that again a few weeks back, is that he's basically saying, you know what, the ministers, they don't really support me. They disagree with me. This was God's apostle. This was God's man. And if God's man says, hey, the brethren aren't getting this, you know, someone who's truly submitted to the government of God, someone whose heart is really into the work of God, is going to be sobered by that charge. Well, Mr. Armstrong says, the brethren don't get this. I better get my act together. I better make sure that I'm the very best teacher that I can be for God's people. The people fell away. The people went astray in large part because the ministry was corrupt. There was Herbert Armstrong saying, you don't get it. And telling the ministry, the brethren aren't getting this. And the ministry responding back, oh yeah, they are. Of course they are. Sure they are. Everything's fine. Everything's just like it's always been. Everything's perfect, right? Listen again to this from 1985, clip 6.
Jesus said, if you overcome, you that are studying to be teachers, if you overcome, I will grant for you to sit with me on my throne and help me rule the world and teach the world. Jesus is the teacher. And Jesus is a ruler. Revelation 5:10, we will be kings and priests and we shall rule on the earth. Brethren, I don't think you'll ever learn that. Has my teaching been in vain, brethren? Sometimes I wonder. I get terribly discouraged. I don't think you get it. I think so much Protestantism is rubbed off on you that you just don't understand the truth when I give it to you.
And he was giving them the truth in 1985. And it wasn't just this sermon. You can go back. This is a quote from 1979. And Mr. Armstrong said, I sometimes wonder how many of you really comprehend what I have so many times said. God is not calling everybody to salvation yet. He says, have not all, without realizing it, simply accepted the one most generally believed false teaching that God is now desperately trying to get everybody saved? That one generally accepted false teaching is the main reason why he wrote Mystery of the Ages. God helped him to come to, you can read about it in the introduction of this book. God helped him to understand more deeply the truth contained there at the end of Genesis 3, that the whole world is cut off from God. Except for a select few that God calls out in advance. John 6 and verse 44, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. God the Father makes the call. You can't come to Christ unless God performs a miracle, unless God opens your mind to the truth. And if your mind has been open to the truth, then we want to follow on and ask, why? Why did God bring me into the church? What is the purpose for the church? Why the first fruits? This was a truth restored to God's church. The fact that God is not now trying to save the whole world. That's coming later. And we're going to have a hand, those of us in God's church, those of us in that first fruits harvest, we're going to have a direct hand in bringing many to salvation. Co-saviors with Christ, it says in the book of Obadiah. What a calling. We want to make sure that we get this message, that we get the message that Mr. Armstrong proclaimed in 1985, that we get the message contained in this book, Mystery of the Ages. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send an email to td@thetrumpet.com. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.